Well, good morning. I have the pleasant opportunity to share with you this morning in Pastor Rob's absence. And when I was praying about what God wanted me to speak on this upcoming weeks, as I knew ahead of time by a bit, it seems like He always seems to pick things that I'm not the best at myself. So, but I listen. So that's what we're going to talk about. A habit of communion. And the main focus text actually is going to have to come toward the back end of this thing, because in order to understand it, we have to get a few things out of the way first. This is intended to be a message of encouragement and a reminder. I don't think there's going to be any great revelations to things that you guys haven't heard before. Especially if you've been in the church or been a Christian for any length of time. These are all things that you have heard. But maybe you tend to let them wander off. And it's sometimes important to be encouraged and reminded about living the Christian life. So that's the direction that this is going today. Together, let's try to answer four questions about prayer. We're going to start out with, what is prayer? Why do we pray? How do we pray? And when do we pray? These questions sometimes, I think, some are easier, some are a little more challenging. But I want to start out looking at the Old Testament on what is prayer. And I want to look at the story about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. If you guys remember that story, that there's this time where Elijah's kind of out there and he's got all this contest of whose God is real. Is it Baal or is it God? Is it Yahweh? And they're going to build these altars. They're going to have this competition of altars. And the prophets are going to all pray to their God. And they've got hundreds of them. And Elijah's just by himself. And whoever's God can bring down fire to light the altar is the winner. And we see, here's a reasonable facsimile, Elijah kind of taunting the prophets of Baal at this point, because they're cutting themselves, they're doing all kinds of things, trying to get their God to act. You say, well, what does this have to do with prayer? Were the prophets praying as well? Prayer isn't just something that comes from a Christian view. Prayer is seeking out something that is greater than yourself, that is larger than you, when you recognize that you can't do something on your own. That there is a need outside of yourself, that you are not self-sufficient. You cannot do everything on your own. You need to have a relationship. You need to have something else. Now, when you worship and pray to a false god, what did they get? Silence. They got nothing. And yet when Elijah put forth his prayer, we had a God who responds. Isn't that an amazing thing? That there is a God, I always need to be reminded, there's a God that listens and responds, that is active in this world. So many times I think we look around and what we see is what we think is what goes on. And we go, well, yeah, you know, God loves me. I know that. But does he really do anything anymore? Are the only times that God ever acts are the things that have been written down in the Bible? That once the Bible was done being written, that God is no longer in action in our world today? What about all the times during the biblical times that weren't even written down? God is always active. God is always in action. He's not that cosmic clockmaker that just wound it all up, set it in place, and said, off you go. Good luck with that. Oh, yeah, find me at the end. But we also need to recognize that we cannot do it alone. Jesus gives us an example of what prayer is. Many examples, actually. The way he lived and things that he taught. Jesus, the Gospels repeatedly recount of Jesus going away and praying in different circumstances while he was living here on the earth. Before he called the disciples, he went away and prayed all night long. He submitted to God. He was seeking out God's will and intention. Before he fed the 5,000, he prayed. 3 separate times he went back in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray when he was facing a great challenge. Did Jesus expect God to move, to respond, to answer? I think all too often we think, well, yeah, maybe God's going to answer, maybe he won't. Prayer is communion. Communion is defined as an intimate fellowship or rapport. You ever think about that when you pray or talk to God? That this is your opportunity to talk, to speak, to have a relationship, a fellowship with the God of the universe. And he wants you to have it. He wants to hear from you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you things. These are all things that are demonstrated to us. It's how we communicate with the Father and how he set it up. That's what prayer is. Prayer is relationship. I've seen that there's somebody made this list up. I didn't do this. This is something I learned back when I was like junior high school. But they put it in a nice little acronym, and there's 4 kind of facets to prayer that they said. And this is, and they put it in the for ACTS, ACTS. Oh, that way it's easy to remember, which is good. It doesn't mean you have to, that every prayer has to have these things in it in order for it to be a perfect prayer. No, that's not how prayer works. Adoration. Recognizing God for who he is and what he is like, and praising him for it. Is there anything greater than the Most High God? No. To stop and think in awe of the mightiness of God and all the things that he does. He deserves praise and worship. That is part of our prayer. That should be an integral part of the way that we pray and approach God, recognizing who he is and praising him. The next one is see confession. Because the Bible says that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. We have the opportunity to come to God. Even though we've rebelled against him, we've done something wrong, with our separation, there's been a division between us, and our relationship is restored through our confession of our sins to God. Because he will forgive us. He will take away the guilt and the shame that's associated with that. He will say, you know what? You are forgiven. You are mine. What an amazing opportunity for us. Do we do it enough? Or is it like when you did something wrong and you're at home and maybe you broke something and you didn't want to go tell your parents about it? And there's that division and that separation. Because now all of a sudden I'm hiding. Prayer gives us the opportunity to make decisions. that to reconcile and to become, come back into union. Thanksgiving. What about all the things He has given you? What about all the things that God provides? Thanksgiving is important in prayer. It gives us an opportunity to reflect upon the things that God is already doing in your life. To recognize that He is real, that He is a tangible part of your daily life. Supplication. That's a big fancy word. Just what He provides. And then we go, okay, so He gives us this, but guess what? I need this. Dear Lord, I need to petition. I need to ask for something. Because this is a need in my life. Right now, I'm having a hard time here. Dear Lord, you know what? My job just went away. I had no plans for that. I need food for my family. God says, bring it to me. Bring it to me. I care about you. I want what's best for you. Bring me those hurts. Bring me those needs. Because I am here to hear you. And I am a God who acts. Now, why do we pray? Kind of got what prayer is. But why? In 1990, the hip-hop icon and amateur theologian MC Hammer pontificated through a song about why we pray. And I quote, "We need to pray just to make it today." Now, while I agree with Hammer that prayer is vital to the Christian living, I think that we can turn once again to the Bible for a more comprehensive understanding. So, I would like to start out in Genesis 1:26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you and every animal on earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life. I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. In the garden, the first humans were totally dependent on God. They had a relationship that was completely unbroken. They were God's image bearers. They were His representatives. They were fully reliant. Everything was provided for them. They could go and take it and eat it. They could go. They were to care for things. They had jobs. They had a purpose to accomplish. To be God's image bearers in filling and subduing the earth. That unbroken relationship that they had with God. Do we have a promise of a day when there will be no more separation and division between us and God? Do we have a Savior who reconciled us back to God, repairing the damage caused through sin and death? Do we have the opportunity to submit ourselves back to God through prayer and reconciliation and to have everything provided for us right now? So why else do we pray? Because as Christians, just by definition, the name, Christians should be following the example and teachings of Jesus. If Jesus prayed, and he taught us to pray, then by default, we should be praying. If the one we acknowledge as the Son of God was regularly engaging in prayer and teaching his followers to pray, why not us? I have a feeling that a lot of it tends to be that we get caught up in self-sufficiency. I can do it myself. I should be doing it myself. Or maybe pride. I don't need to ask for help. I can get this done. But the encouragement about this message is that it's there for you. God has it there to instill and to give out. He wants to give these things to you. He wants to empower you. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to help you live the best life you can. It's just there for the asking. But what good does prayer really do? Does it do anything? Individually, it's about aligning our will with the will of God. So often, I think when we get self-sufficient and self-centered, we start having our own plans about how everything is supposed to go, and that is what we track on and follow. And every now and again, we might check back in and go, hey, God, does this seem like it kind of may work out with your plan? You know, because I really want to do this. Or are we asking God first? God, what do you want to accomplish? How can I be a part of it? How can I be changed to be a part of what you're doing rather than how can you be a part of what I'm doing? Through Scripture, we see God answering prayers. Looking at the Bible, we also see that God works with people. He works through people. Prayer is an opportunity to hear from God about the things that He is looking to accomplish in this world, and He might want you to be a part of it. Maybe that's why sometimes we don't want to pray, because that's kind of scary. I might have to do something. That may not be easy. That may not be fun. That may be hard. God may be calling you to something that's difficult. But it's always fulfilling when it's done in the will of God. Let's move on to how do we pray. And I want to start off with a teaching from Jesus on how not to pray, which he then expands into how to pray. So we'll go to Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8. And when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they will be seen by people. Truly I say to you that they have their reward in full. But as for you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use thoughtless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Do not be like the hypocrites. I think sometimes with the idea of prayer, there's many different ways of doing prayer. Some people, okay, well, when you first grow up, if you grew up in church, at least I did, as a little kid, what's the first thing that you learn about how you pray? You got to fold your hands and close your eyes and bow your head, right? That's the right way to pray. It is a way to pray, but it's also a good way to keep kids from reaching out and touching their friends and things like that. It helps keep focus. Well, what about if I pray just quietly or silently to myself? Do I have to say it out loud? I think there's some benefits and some places for both of these things taking place. Say you're at a public place, like in the middle of a speech that somebody's giving, and people are sitting around watching. Would it be appropriate to pray out loud for the person that is giving the speech? Probably not. It's going to be disruptive. But are there times when you're praying that saying something out loud and talking to God is a little more concrete in how you approach it and recognize it? I think that a lot of the times when we think about prayer with God, we look at it as something different and special. Prayer should be natural. Should be conversational. When you think about your interactions with people, now sometimes spouses may have differences of opinion on this, but how often do you have silent conversations with other people? Some people think you can read their mind, but that is not the case. God can. Which is why I think that our normal, regular way of conversing and talking with people is verbally. And then listening. Do we do that with God very much? I know a lot of times you can kind of get run off, and I get run off in different rabbit trails if I'm praying just in my head. Sometimes it makes it a little easier to direct and focus. How should we pray? We should pray expectingly. We should expect to see God acting. It may not be the action or the answer or the way that you want, but you should be expecting for God to be involved in this situation. Whatever it is that you're asking and inviting God into. Whatever petition that you're giving. That you're saying. Because I think a lot of times we go, all right, well, probably nothing's going to happen. But I'm going to pray for him because, you know, he's in the hospital. Do you expect God to be involved in that situation? Do you expect God? Because a lot of times I go, well, let me pray about this. But guess what? Then I'm going to go and spend the next 2 hours on the internet trying to figure out how to solve the problem myself. Do I stop to listen? Sincerely. You should pray sincerely. I know sometimes, maybe some of you guys have heard this or done this. God is great. God is good. So we thank Him for our food. Amen. Let's eat. Not much sincerity there. Can that be a sincere prayer, though? Absolutely. It's about the heart in which you're praying. About the way that you are trying to align with God's will. And say, God, I want you to to do this, to be a part of this, because this meal is important. Because you provided it. You can work through this. This is the supreme being of the entirety of our existence. He can do anything. Maybe I should have a little more sincerity when I come to God in prayer. Submissively. Recognizing that the will of God supersedes my will. And that I need to submit to His authority, to His ways, and not try to convert Him to mine. How do we pray? We need to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, sometimes, I said, look expectantly. Sometimes we go, yeah, but look, I prayed and this didn't happen. Or that didn't happen, or even the thing that I was praying against didn't, or went the other way. Why? I don't get it. We've got an interesting story in Daniel 10. I don't have time to put the whole thing out there. It'd be kind of interesting if you want to look at it. But there's something going on, and Daniel asks God for intervention so that he can figure something out, and he doesn't hear back. So he starts fasting. And he goes a week. And he goes 2 weeks. And he goes 3 weeks. More than 20 days later, all of a sudden, an angel shows up. What does he say? He said, from the first time that you asked, God heard your prayers. And He sent me. But I was waylaid. I was held back by another spiritual force that's going on. We have such a small perception of what's going on in the world. We're in our daily experience. We need to remember that there is a cosmic reality of battles between, of spiritual forces between good and evil going on that impact everything that happens in our world. Sometimes things that we ask for don't line up with the will of God. Sometimes there are other things that are thwarting, that are causing problems, that are shifting things. We also have the consequences of sin and death. We live in a broken world where those things still exist. But just because there's a mystery about what is answered in certain ways and what is not by God, and how He responds, it does not change the character of God. It does not change who He is. He is always seeking out the good of His people. He is not rejecting who He is. He is always the same. And He has been revealed to us by Jesus Christ, who came to live among us. Look at the character of Christ. Pray in alignment with that character. Seek the Spirit of God to permeate you, to guide and lead you in your prayers. So when do we pray? Let's take a look in Acts, the early church. Acts chapter 2, for an example. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So when? Continually. And when they're together, they prayed. Because in unity, prayer, seeking out the will of God, is a lot easier to stay in alignment than when you're off on your own. God loves His people. He wants them to worship, pray, submit, be ready, be expecting His response. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. We're also encouraged similarly here. Pray without ceasing. So how do you pray without ceasing? I know my mind kind of wanders, but it's this idea that you are in constant seeking out relationship with God. It doesn't have to be a running dialogue, because when I'm talking to other people, I can't also be thinking about praying. That doesn't work. That's not how that works. My brain doesn't function that way. Maybe some of you are better than me at that, but you are to remain in prayer. That your default status should be God. How can I do this? God, what do you want done? God, where are you working and how can I be a part of it? A constant open line of communication is the will of God for His people. What an encouragement. He wants us to participate in the great things that are going on in His kingdom. He wants us to be a part, and He wants you to participate. But it also goes two ways, so keep your ears open and your hearts open when you pray. Set aside pride. Pray without ceasing. Recognize that you can't do it alone. And lean on the one who you can trust to come alongside you and lead you as you build a habit of communion with God. Communion with one another and with God together. Pastor Rob has talked about a little bit about the idea of a culture of prayer. What a wonderful thing to develop within the church. A culture of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You are the Most High, awesome and powerful. There is no one higher, no source greater that we can go to. We thank You that You have made available to us, lowly humans, the ability to have fellowship and communication with You. Help us to seek that out further throughout the days as we go ahead, that we recognize that You want to work through us and in us. Help us to be a part of Your kingdom as followers of Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, whose reign shall never end. Amen.
Thank you, Jason. That was a beautiful message. Let's close our service with singing "The Goodness of God." Thank you. To join us for fellowship and treats in the back. If you have a need for prayer, please feel free to come forward and there'll be someone here to pray with you.